Throw the best birthday party ever that your child will always talk about. Big Air Trampoline Park inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall can do just that. Award-winning birthday party packages start at just $300, and all birthday parties include pizza, drinks, a party room with a party host, grip socks, printed invitations, and all 40 attractions at Big Air Trampoline Park. It's a birthday party you and your kids will never forget. Book your party today. Big Air Columbus, where the fun never ends. Visit bigairusa.com/Columbus for details.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 9:06 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here to hang out with us, Michael Lombardi is going to join us in just a minute here. Well, in about 10 minutes here, we will be talking to Michael Lombardi about the NFL and what's happening and what he thinks is going to happen with this with the schedule and whatnot with the postseason. We will do that. Michael wants to get in here and ask a draft question for Lance. What do you say, Michael?
What up, guys? Hey, Lance, what's Derek Carr? What's he worth for a draft pick? Let's just say, run me through the scenario. If we trade for him, kick the can down the road, you know, to pick up some defensive players and, you know, offensive players and maybe kick the can down the road one more year to draft a quarterback next year, potentially. What's Derek Carr worth at his trade value for draft picks anyways?
Well, you need multiple teams to have interest, which is possible. It's always balanced against what the contract is. You have to pick up. So here's the thing. There is a potential cap cut coming for Derek Carr where you could get out of his contract. And a lot of people believe the Raiders will just cut him as opposed to trading him. I would try to trade him, but I think with teams, you know, with Derek's contract, his contract over the next few years is going to be $33 million, $41 million. The problem is you're going to take that on. Now, you don't have to pay it, but so how much value is there if you're not even going to pay that? So I think the problem you run into is you're just not going to have as much value coming back. My guess is you can get a second for Derek. I don't think you'll get more. You know, maybe a second and another pick, maybe a fourth. But I think it's going to be tough.
Well, if you give up draft picks, you've got to pick up his contract.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Do you want to pay that?
No.
I mean, these are the numbers that you're going to be paying unless you want to get out of it. And if you're going to get out of it, then why would you give up a valuable pick?
You know they've got to get rid of him. I don't think anybody trades for him.
Well, that's the thing is it's you're taking on this contract unless you want to extend him and lower the cap and lower the, you know, take the money and extend it over a couple years. You could do that, and then you'd have to give Derek cash up front. There's a possibility. His contract runs until he's 34 years old, so it's not like he'd be old. I think Derek is a functional starter. I mean, he's absolutely a guy that you would think could help the Colts. But then can the Colts really wrap their head around going with another team's cast-off quarterback? Can they really sell that? Ugh. I mean, they've done Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz.
If they draft someone, you could sign
Phillip Rivers.
Him. If they, but the, he's got to draft somebody. He's got to draft somebody. He can't do this again. He just can't.
No, and that's why I don't think you'll get involved. I don't think you'll get involved with Derek Carr. Who would get involved with Derek Carr? I mean, you know, if you're really honest about it, I think you could make an argument maybe for the Titans. You could make an argument for if you're a team in the NFC South, are you not saying, hey, maybe we should go after Derek Carr? Look how bad this division is right now. If you're the Panthers, you say, hey, why don't we go get Derek Carr? Let's go get Derek Carr and go from there. We were able to win some games with Sam Darnold coming back. Let's go get Derek Carr. I'm not 100% sold on Derek Carr personally, myself, but Derek Carr could make some teams better. What about the Ravens if they can't sign, if they don't franchise tag Lamar Jackson? Would they consider Derek Carr? I don't think so.
No.
It doesn't fit the mold over there. But Bengals, Browns, I'm working through teams. What about Jets? I struggle with Derek Carr in New York with that. I mean, he's a West Coast guy his whole life. He's been a, well, Houston. His whole life. He's been Houston, but then he played his college ball. He played his pro ball. Is he going to be able to go and play in that weather and with that type of media scrutiny?
Yeah.
Does he want that?
I listen, you're an NFL quarterback. The pressure's
Washington?
There. I don't think that's going to be any.
Washington with there's Terry McLaurin? There's
all these teams.
I think there's some favorable spots for Derek Carr.
Listen, even if the Colts draft Will Levis, I would still pick up Derek Carr.
But I'm not kicking the can with Derek Carr personally. Like, I just, if I'm Derek Carr, I would say, look, if you're going to trade me, don't trade me to the Texans. They stink. I don't want to be in anonymity.
Oh, I don't know. He grew up here. He grew up with the Texans organization.
Yeah, but you're basically tying yourself with this organization. Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
Well,
you mean the organization got his brother beaten to a pulp?
Yeah, right. But I still think.
And they poured beer on who did they pour beer on? Wasn't it Derek Carr's wife?
No, it was David's wife.
I meant David's wife. Yeah. Didn't they do that too?
Yeah.
He may not have fond memories.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his memories are here. He might want to play where he grew up.
No, I think it came out that he didn't want to be a Texan in 14 when they were considering when he was going to potentially be drafted by the Texan, where it was at least a possibility. I don't know. If he has a choice, why would anyone choose, oh, I grew up here in Sugar Land back in the early 2000s. So? It's going to look a lot different now. What's this city center? Yeah, it's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, but it's still where you grew up.
You want to win, don't you?
Yeah. No. Would it be Washington. A first choice? No. All right, when we come back, Michael Lombardi, we can talk about this stuff with him. Actually, on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about Doc Manavese. Listen, she is unbelievable. And if you have issues, and you might have prostate issues, if you go to the bathroom several times during the night, if you can't hold it, if you you don't feel like you're completely done after you urinate, whatever the case may be, listen, it could lead to bladder problems, could lead to kidney problems, urinary tract infections, all of this stuff. It's dangerous. And here's the deal. This is such an easy process. It's basically a long lunch where they stick an IV in you and then it's done. And you don't want to, if you go to another doctor and he suggests surgery, Now, if it's cancerous, that's another story. But if there's no cancer involved, the only way to go about this is to go see Doc Manavese. And oh, by the way, your ED, if you have ED and it's caused by an enlarged prostate, 100% of patients with erectile dysfunction that have come to Dr. Manavese with BPH have complete resolution of their erectile dysfunction. Complete, 100%. That's a big number. So if you're looking for the best way to take care of this prostate issue, 975prostate.com, 975prostate.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Rejoining us once again, Michael Lombardi, GM Shuffle Pod. GM Shuffle Pod, a former general manager, three-time Super Bowl winning NFL executive. He is on with us once again. He's also the host of the Lombardi Line, right? On VSIN. Mike Lombardi joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Michael, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. We appreciate it. How would you figure out this playoff stuff now rescheduling or not rescheduling? What would you do if you were NFL commissioner?
Well, I think what I would do is just rule the game a tie and just carry on. And I think both teams would, due to the circumstances, neither team would complain. I think both teams would understand that you know, what happened on Monday night in Cincinnati is bigger than seedings, and it's bigger than, you know, the game itself. And I think we make so much out about home field advantage, and yet we know Cincinnati went into Tennessee last year and won. We know Cincinnati went into Kansas City and won. We know Buffalo should have won in Kansas City, albeit 13 seconds. The Rams went into Tampa and won. And, you know, if the 49ers intercept that pass, they're going to the final. They're going to go to the Super Bowl as a road team. So I think we make way too much out of the seeding, the home field. I mean, the bye week is nice if you can get it, but only one team's going to get that. So to me, I would rule it a tie, and let's just keep going, and we'll see what happens and pray for DeMar's help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is unlike anything we've seen, Mike. You've been in the league for years, and, you know, I'll be honest with you. I thought the NFL, I think people were ready to fire away at the NFL during this entire thing. You know, they didn't cancel the game fast enough. They you know, people want to just go with the heartless NFL angle. And I get it, because there's a background. I mean, there's a reason to come with that. There's history. However, I don't blame the NFL for taking their time. Everything that they've done up to this point, they've taken time to, I think, work through as many things as they possibly can, because this is all unprecedented that I can recall.
Well, look, you know, I think for me, you know, as I wrote about in VSiN.com online, this is different, right? So we have all experienced the player on the field who gets carted off with a torn ACL or a broken ankle or some kind of injury. You know, and we've seen a player get carted off on the stretcher with immobilized because we're concerned about, you know, a back injury, a spine injury. But this was different. This was not an injury. This was life or death. And when we got into this life or death situation, it the faces of all the people around it, the players, the staff, was telling. And, you know, the NFL's never come across really this before. It's happened one other time when a player had cardiac arrest on the field, but from a blood clot. But this, to me, was so different. And the stadium was silent, and everybody was praying that DeMar would recover. You know, everybody was praying that initially we all probably thought it was some form of spinal injury. And then as it got closer, we realized it was a life-or-death situation. So, to me, I think the NFL, by taking their time, I think they did the right thing. Now, they didn't announce the game was canceled, but when I saw on the television from my chair in my living room, when I saw Sean McDermott and Zach Taylor shake hands, I knew the game was canceled. So by the time they reported to us, it really didn't matter. I could tell. I could tell from the faces of the coaches the game was going to get canceled. There was no way the players were going to be able to go back out on that field after what they just witnessed. And I think ultimately, like a lot of soldiers that go off the battle, I mean, that was a traumatic experience. And there's going to have to be counseling and therapists to help these players kind of deal with it as we move forward.
Michael Lombardi, at Lombardi NFL on Twitter. Good follow. Michael, what do the Eagles do this week with the shoulder of Jalen? They need to win. Is it worth risking him to get that bye week?
Well, I think if he's healthy. But look, they're playing a team that's not going to play, right? I mean, this is a game that's going to feature Tyrod Taylor and Davis Webb for the Giants. You won't see Saquon Barkley in this game. I mean, this is why the line opened up at the, you know, is the Eagles favored by 14. I mean, that the book knows that the Giants aren't participating. The Giants are getting ready to play probably Minnesota again. They're preparing for Minnesota. This is a preseason game for the Giants. They're not going to come out and say it, but that's what it is. You know, they're not going to play any player that they feel like is on borderline and they need healthy for the week to go when they face the sixth or third seed. So to me, the Eagles are going to get in this, whether they play Minshew or Hurts. I think ultimately they need to play because, you know, we all thought, me specifically, this game would mean nothing to Philly and everything to the Giants, and yet it flipped, right? It means everything to Philly and nothing for the Giants. So I think the Eagles will play their guys. I don't know if Hurts will play. You know, I was told initially from the injury that he would not play in the first two games and wouldn't play in the last game because they wouldn't need it. But now maybe they do play him, and maybe they try to get his rhythm back, because the Eagles did not look very good last week, offensively or defensively. I mean, defensively is a huge concern. They're a zone team. When they get into a man-to-man game in the back end, it doesn't really work out. They could talk about Bradbury being a great signing for them and Slay being an elite corner, but when they have to play man-to-man against good receivers, they struggle.
Mike, when you take a look at where we stand right now in terms of some of the quarterbacks in the league, we're coming up on a quarterback draft that Houston Texans fans are going to have interest in. John and I just got done talking about Derek Carr. What's Derek Carr's value right now to a team? Now, I'm not asking you for a trade value or anything like that, but how do you project Derek Carr moving forward? What's his ceiling, and what do you think his value is to a team?
Well, I think Carr's a good player. I don't think there's no denying that he's not a good player. He's got a lot of the things you love in a quarterback. What you don't love about Carr is his ability to win games. I mean, you know, his career is, he's 63-79 as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Well, you could say that's not his fault. Okay, well, you know, I mean, the quarterback, he's only had two winning seasons in his entire career there. You know, and so last year, you know, I mean, so you could say, well, they don't play good defense. Okay, well, a lot of teams don't play good defense, but their quarterback makes up for it. You know, Burrow didn't have an offensive line last year, and they were able to find a way to win. So, you know, I think that, I think that it's got to be the right situation for him. I think he clearly wasn't the same player this year that he was last year. You know, his percentage of completion, he ranks in the bottom third. He actually is 30th in expected completion percentage, which means if the receiver's open, the quarterback needs to hit him. And he's in the same category in that area as Davis Mills is. Davis Mills is 32nd in that area. Carson Wentz is 29th. So for a guy who's an elite player, or should be, I mean, I had him rated as a redshirt player going into the year because he threw for 4,800 yards last year. But this year he took a giant mother may I step backwards. He didn't protect the ball as well as he did. He didn't make plays in the red zone, and he really didn't give his receivers a chance to make a play. I mean, if you watch the Pittsburgh game, 3rd and 5, game on the line. You know, they double-teamed Devontae Adams on the outside. He's got an in-cut to Darren Waller, who's wide open by about 3 yards. He throws it to Mike Tomlin on the sideline. I don't understand why. I can't explain it, but he just didn't play within the offense. And then when you watch Jarrett Stidham come in last week and basically just execute the offense and put 500 yards up against the best defense in all of football, something's disconnected here.
Mm-hmm. Michael Lombardi with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So do you wait because the Raiders have to cut him, or do you give up something for him? And what would that be?
Well, he has a no-trade clause in his contract. So until he agrees to go somewhere, there's no, you know, there's nothing. There's
right.
Nothing he can
but
do.
If he did.
So, you know, he's going to be able to tell the Raiders, hey, I want to go here.
Right.
You know, and then they can work it out. I don't think there'll be a lot of compensation. There could be. You know, I mean, if they cut him, they don't get a compensatory pick. So whatever the Raiders get for this is gravy, frankly. You know, and they did this contract because I think both parties went into it really saying, okay, let's figure this out. You know, McDaniels watched Carr. A lot of people have watched Carr in his career, and there's concerns about Carr. Can he hang in the pocket? Will he step up in the pocket? Does he make plays on the move? Will he make, when the play breaks down, does he make the play better or does he make it worse? You know, so everybody has seen this. So they went into it kind of, okay, prove to me that you are an elite player. That the 4,800, that the yards you threw for last year at almost 70% completion, you can improve with that. And when that didn't happen, now he's back to square one. So, you know, I think ultimately, you know, they'll work out some kind of compensation. I think that you have to weigh in where Carr is and where he's going as compared to what you think is in the draft.
How about the Jets? Are the Jets in any trouble? When I say the Jets, Joe Douglas, I don't know about Robert Saleh, but Joe Douglas and Saleh were sitting on, you know, they were sitting on Dream Street 4 weeks ago, and now things have changed drastically, and their second pick of the draft, Zach Wilson, looks like he's done over there. This is a kind of a weird spot for the Jets right now that they're sitting at 8-8.
Well, I mean, look, the Jets have a great PR machine, right? I mean, they do. I mean, I promise you, Joe's draft this year will get an A+. There's no denying it. You know, and, you know, they have a team that people think is really talented defensively, and they have some good players defensively. But the reality of this is they've created 2 turnovers in the last 7 weeks with their defense, which is supposed to be an elite defense that creates turnovers. They haven't held a team under 100 yards rushing in those 7 weeks. You know, and they could, as bad as New England was, they couldn't beat them ever in either game. So to me, they're good. I don't think they're an elite defense. They don't create turnovers. Teams run the football on them. Last week, Seattle had 188 yards rushing. I mean, they only threw for 148. So, and then offensively, look, that offensive line is a mess. Now, it's not all Joe's fault. I mean, Becton hasn't been a good player for him. You know, they lose a bunch of guys in the line, and it hasn't worked out. But to me, I think there's a tendency to overrate them a little bit. And then the quarterback situation. I mean, look, Wilson is a guy that I don't know how mature he is. I don't know where he's going to go in terms of can he grow and develop. It doesn't seem like to me he's going to be able to focus and concentrate for what required of him for the season.
What if you're the Dolphins GM? What do you do? What do you do going forward with Tua?
You know, I think the Dolphins are one of the most interesting teams in the league because we all think they're this incredibly talented team. And they're like, you know, because they have this big strike playability. And really, when you break them down, when you break down the Dolphins, they are deficient in so many areas. I always break down a team in what I call the 19 areas that make a difference towards winning. And Miami is really not very strong. They're only good in three of those 12 areas. They're in the bottom eight and nine of them. Okay, so yeah, they make big plays. What do I do with Tua? Look, I don't understand how Tua is the fifth pick in the draft. He's undersized. He doesn't have a great arm. Does he have great timing? Yes. Can he run away from anybody? No. You know, and now he's been hurt. I mean, he has been hurt in his career. It's not his fault, but he has suffered a lot of concussions. He's not going to play again this week. To me, I think it's a hard question to answer. I mean, you went all in this year. You make the trade for Bradley Chubb, who didn't stay healthy for you. Your defense is really not very good. You haven't been able to stop anybody on defense. Your corner situation is bad. I mean, I think there's a lot of things to concern yourself with. And most importantly is, how can we count on the availability of the guy that we drafted ahead of Justin Herbert? I don't know about that.
You just made an interesting comment about Tua, about him being undersized. I want to ask you this. You were back with Bill Belichick. You were with the Patriots there 2014, 2015. You know Nick Caserio, obviously. He's a guy you're going to know in the league. You know, the Texans are sitting here with the first pick, and you know all about Bryce Young. I don't know how much you've studied him, but he's a quarterback that I've heard his verified numbers are sub 6 foot. They're 5'11 and a half, 195 is his verified from a scout I talked to who'd been in the building. Knowing what you know about Nick Caserio's background with Bill Belichick, and that is a position at quarterback that's extremely important, that falls below all the size standards that we're used to seeing. Would the Texans and Nick Caserio, if you had to bet on it, would he make allowances for size because of the position importance?
Well, whenever you make an exception, you become a team of exceptions. And so, you know, that's always a hard thing to do. And look, here's what I do know. Buddy Ryan said this years ago, there's a place in football for the little man. It's just not in front of the big man. And that's what would worry me about Bryce Young. I mean, I've heard it's 185. I've heard it's 5'10", 185. I mean, look, I think the guy's got a better arm than Tua. I think his movement and instincts in the pocket is really good. But all that being said is, can you believe he can last 17 games in 22 weeks? What I think we lose sight of is what happens to Tyler Heinicke or Gardner Minshew, these undersized quarterbacks. As the year goes on, they look good early, but their bodies can't handle the season. The lower bodies can't handle it. Their arm strength still slows down. They're not able to kind of make up for all the things. It's a problem. It's a huge problem. It's a hard sport. Look, this year we have beaten the record that was set in 87 when we had a strike game. We have gone 65 new players have played quarterback this year. That's double the league. So that tells you, A, teams aren't protecting very well. B, quarterbacks who are getting protected by the officials are still getting hit and are still not being able to stay on the field. So it's a concern. And you take a guy who's little, who doesn't have a durability issue at Alabama, does not. Tua did a little bit. Doesn't have one there. Then you're rolling the dice.
And will Nick Caserio roll that dice? We'll see. We shall see. Although Will Levis, I don't know how much you've seen of him. You would think that would be the prototypical guy, but he just didn't play that well this year.
Yeah, you know, and they fired the offensive coordinator at Kentucky, and I don't know, you know, it's a little bit like Justin Herbert. You know, what happens to a lot of us when we study quarterbacks in the draft, we critique the offense. I mean, when you watched Herbert at Oregon, you critiquing the offense, which was horrible, you know, and it was sprint outs, and they never gave the kid a chance. And then when he went to the Senior Bowl, you said, wow, this guy's special. This guy's really unique. And you could see it. I mean, and with pro coaching, he got better leaps and bounds. I think that's what's going to happen to Levitt. So he's going to have to go down there because the offense wasn't good. He turned the ball over at the inopportune times. Yep. When he had an opportunity to make a play, he didn't make them.
Yep. At M. Lombardi NFL, the Lombardi line on VSIN, which is VSIN, and he's host of the GM Shuffle Pod.
Yeah, we need to know, where do we find the 19 critical factors for winning? Where can you – I'm sure you have that listed somewhere.
No, I haven't really written that. I just kind of I do it every week on my power rankings because I think too often we get into the situation where, you know, people like – just for example, people say third down. How are you on third down? Well, third down's important. Don't get me wrong. But how many third downs do you – how many third downs does your defense allow? How many third downs does your offense convert per game? Like, that's more of an important stat than anything. How many punts per game are you doing? Like, when you look at the Texans – and you just evaluate what they are, like in some of my critical numbers that take on coach that evaluate the coaching staff, it also evaluates the quarterback, how they've played in the last 5 weeks, how they played in the last 10, points per play. How many times do they get to the red zone? Forget about how many times they score, how many times they get there. You know, and so there's a lot of things that go into it that are deeper than just, oh, well, they rank 23rd in yards per attempt. No, yards per attempt doesn't go towards winning. You know, yards. How many incomplete passes you force a game goes towards winning. You know, and that's why the Texans, they're 27th in the league in that category because they play zone and there's a lot of passes people can complete on.
Yeah, and their zone is pretty porous too, as a matter of fact. That's Michael Lombardi right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks for your time, man. We really appreciate it. Great conversation.
Guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Michael Lombardi here on this show. Taking a break, still ahead. I mean, we got a short segment, and then we got News of the Weird coming your way. Some weird stuff going on out there. But we are going to talk about your Houston Texans when we come back. Specifically, one player I want to talk to you about. When we come back, don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let me ask you a question. So Jonathan Greenard was supposed to be, if you want to know the truth, he was supposed to be with Owo Okoronkwo.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
So do we give Nick credit for Okoronkwo?
Sure. Yeah. Okoronkwo's played well.
He's played really well.
Yeah, he's played well. He's a little powerhouse. And, he's been a good player. Came over from the Rams and has done a nice job.
He also found Tre'Mont Smith, okay? Who is basically what...
Absolutely.
He's shown flashes of what Derek Stingley should be.
Good return man. Tre'Mont Smith has been a good addition.
A real good addition. And if he... Are we... So, but Nick is only going to be judged on Kenyon Green's inability to protect the passer, okay? And Stingley's absence for now... 6 weeks?
He's going to be judged on how they win and lose first. And then if you start picking and choosing, yeah. I mean, look, Petrie was a really good pick. Damian Pierce is a really good pick. But if you don't get the quarterback right, and then, I mean, for me, I you cannot judge guys on 1 year. It takes time. But Stingley is much tougher than Green because Green is going to fade into the – I don't think you'll be talking about Kenyon Green a whole lot by next year. I do think he's going to have some pass protection issues. I think the run blocking is going to be really good, and I think it will eventually balance out, and he'll be fine. The problem with Stingley is you got Sauce Gardner there forever, who everyone can now say, wow, defensive player of the year. I mean, I'm sorry, defensive rookie of the year. Sauce is the lock to be a defensive rookie of the year. So you had that guy staring at you, and the other guy has been injured after two seasons, straight seasons of being injured in college. So this is now three straight seasons full of missed games for Derek Stingley. I mean, Nick, it's almost unforgivable to miss on that. I shouldn't say unforgivable. It's a tough break when injury for the third year in a row is causing problems for a player. Because I got news for you. If you're having these kind of injury issues in college and in your first year in the pros, it usually is going to be a problem the rest of your career. It's something that you're going to have to watch for the rest of your year. And if Nick saw injury issues and then you know that he, you know, there were some flags to take a look at. And then you know his best year wasn't, you have to go all the way back to 19, and it was an extraordinary year in 19. The most magical year I've seen for any university, maybe ever, was LSU football. But you got to go all the way back there. For Sauce, man, you just have to look at games from this year. You see a guy that's going up. Sauce Gardner was going up. He was getting bigger. He was getting better. He was locking guys down one-on-one. He's big. He's tall and long like you like. Like, how... If there's a differentiator between those two, what were the issues?
Competition that Sauce played.
I mean, did Sauce look okay against Ohio State when they played him?
Yeah.
I thought he did.
Yeah, but Stingley was day in and day out against Chase and Jefferson, and then he had to face all those SEC wide receivers.
Did he practice against them? Because he was always hurt.
No, he did practice against them, apparently. Apparently he did.
In 19, I know he did.
In 19, right.
Did he get a practice against them the other years when he was always hurt?
Well, and Chase didn't even play the next year, right? Chase didn't even play, so he didn't practice against him.
He practiced against Chase in 19.
In 19.
Everything that you point to is 19. 19.
Yep.
But so if you have an agenda, you only point to that. But I'm open-minded about things, and I just think that the other stuff you brought up are valid points. You know, building a roster isn't just one pick or two picks. Building a roster is
no.
Street free agents. How do you handle contracts?
Yeah, you got to give him credit for that, too.
Absolutely. But
Grenard wasn't his pick either, and he needs – okay, to get the number one overall pick, it's got to be a quarterback, and it's got to be young, okay? And I don't care – You can disagree with that.
You just had Michael Lombardi tell you he's a Bill Belichick guy.
Yeah.
The same way Nick Caserio is a Bill Belichick guy. And he's talking about exceptions and wearing down. I don't think it's crazy that Will Anderson, not a quarterback, I don't think it's crazy that Will Anderson is the first pick.
I don't think it's crazy either, but it'll be wow. This city will be wow.
Wow.
And especially
Vince Young and Mario Williams, we've seen this before.
Yeah, we've seen it before.
But
especially if it turns out to be that Bryce Young is really good, then it'll be he screwed the pooch for this organization.
So the Texans had to fade that and years with again Vince Young, but then it wasn't years and years and years. Mario ended up being a pretty good player.
Well, because Vince Young, you know, petered out.
Yeah, and Mario ended up being a pretty good player.
But if Bryce Young doesn't.
Early on, it sucked. But Mario ended up being a pretty good player, too.
Yeah, pretty good player. Let's say they do Bryce Young.
Okay.
15th pick, 16th pick, whatever Cleveland is going to be. What position would you prefer?
I still think you need to, like, I'm not draft board be damned. I mean, for me, I would say it's hard because I really want a playmaker at wide receiver, like a Jalen Hyatt type would be great to pair with a ball winner, yep, and Nico Collins. But I also think that you can't go wrong with rush. Rushing the quarterback is such a massive part of the league right now. And I think finding a rusher. So I think, you know, if you could find a wide receiver one, which I think Hyatt is more of a wide receiver two, honestly, who's a complimentary deep piece. But if you
Jordan Addison is still there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I haven't written him yet, but absolutely. Because all you're doing is in theory, you're giving Davis Mills another opportunity. And that's how people will read it, and they'll be furious, and they'll be upset. But the reality is you're kind of also building your offense for the next quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to draft, for example, Will Anderson, you're saying, well, yeah, and in my scenario, if you drafted Will Anderson one, then you're not drafting a pass rusher anyway, then you're probably looking at a wide receiver.
Probably a wide receiver or Anthony Richardson.
You could. I think you could also wait till the second round and take a look and see which quarterbacks maybe slide back. This is would you consider Hendon Hooker?
Why just because of his knee, we're done with Hendon Hooker?
He's older too.
Yeah.
He's gonna be a 26-year-old rookie coming off an ACL tear. And when you watch his tape, he is only a half field reader. So when he gets to the pros, it's a whole new passing scheme that he's gonna have to learn. I think that's the concern, is how long is this going to take him? You just figure, when you have guys who are half-field readers, you think, okay, it's going to take 2 or 3 years for them to figure it out. Well, this guy's going to be 26 as a rookie. That's your concern.
Well, if you got Will Anderson, Jordan Addison, let's say.
By the way, tore his knee up in November,
Jordan
late
Addison,
November.
And then Hendon Hooker in the second round, I think that would be a pretty successful draft.
I mean, on paper, it looks pretty good.
Yep. And he's your kind of quarterback too, a bigger, stronger guy,
and he's mobile.
Yep,
you know.
I mean, guys are playing long after their mid 30s. I mean, so
yeah, they are.
26 doesn't scare me.
They are, but you just 26 with a knee injury where he's not going to be able to participate physically. Well, yeah. I don't think in summer he will, but maybe depends on how quick he comes back. He might be able to. You won't be able to. No, he's not going to be throwing.
No way. You can't see him throw. If you have to bring him along slowly anyway, that's
okay. You can't
okay.
see him throw at his workout. That's not going to happen, no. Right?
Well, you've seen him throw all year.
You have,
no.
But you still want him to throw certain routes and things like that maybe. I think Hendon's maybe going to fall even further than early second.
Really?
Yeah, he could.
All right. When we come back, could you eat the same thing every day for 17 years? That's the answer to the question.
My son Alex says yes.
Yes.
Chicken quesadillas.
And actually, not far. Oh. We'll tell you how when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, News of the Weird is brought to you by Simple Seeds. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. Lance, let me ask you a question. If you're burglarizing a house and you find that the furniture is too heavy for you, you're a man and a woman, you find that the furniture is too heavy for you, and you'd also like a ride to the airport because you're going to go to New York for the weekend, who would you call? You're at the house you're burglarizing. Who would you call?
News of the Weird. You wouldn't call 911, right?
Yes, 911.
Oh, my God.
You answer correctly.
You call in 911 to help you move furniture and go to an airport?
The quote, she called 911 for the purpose of having law enforcement assist them with moving their belongings from the house, the one they were burglarizing, the sheriff's office said, and they were trying to get a ride to the airport because they wanted to go to New York for the weekend. So I think it's just obvious. Who do you call? 911. I mean, you need help moving.
Where is this?
Burglarized items. Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you knew.
Florida. I mean, Florida is so quick to call 911. It's amazing who should I call? I guess 911.
Yeah. No question. So there is a man who has been eating. What do you think he has eaten every day? Every day.
Okay.
Florida man.
Well, I mean, the only thing that
17 years.
The only thing that I could see you eating
breakfast,
every day.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
The only thing I could see is tacos.
That's not it.
It's not? What is it? Grilled cheese?
Close.
Hamburger? Ham and cheese?
Mac and cheese.
Oh, yep.
Every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 17 years. Do you think even one of your kids could do that?
That is a low-protein, high-carb diet.
Seriously. He's not that big either. I mean, he might. I mean, he ain't doing all that. He ain't doing no vegetables. breakfast, lunch, and
a little
dinner.
He's a little doughy.
A little. I mean, okay.
You can't. Like, do you ever miss any? Like, you don't.
You can't.
17
he
years.
He never, ever, ever misses, Lance. Never.
So he is the pickiest eater of all time.
So apparently, Doncaster Surgery Hospital sent out Christmas texts to people.
Okay.
Here was their Christmas text. From the forwarded letters at CMP, so-and-so, they've deleted the name, has asked for you do a DS-1500 for the above patient. Diagnosis, aggressive lung cancer with metastasis. Oop. They sent a text immediately after that. Please accept our sincere apologies for the previous text message. This has been sent nearer. Our message to you should have read, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Wow.
And a Happy New Year.
Metastasized cancer gets broadcast to everybody, and their name is
And their name was in it.
Wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
you know what?
Oops.
When you never have those oops is when you send a card in the mail.
Yeah.
You can't, like, write that and
right.
Let's have this printed on card. Somebody's going to catch it. Hey, did you see what was on our card? It says metastasized cancer for a patient. Oh, let's reorder cards.
Yeah, but
text, you're just like,
oh.
Are they ever going to make it where text can where you can suck the tech back, text away, and it disappears?
Yeah. Do you? No. It will always be there. Always be there for the other person. Now that's what. There's Insta.
Well, there's been Snapchat.
Snapchat.
You can
good news.
Grab.
You want to move to South Korea because they've lifted the ban on imported sex dolls.
What not
is
for that?
Is there a reason? Do you think
more
that
for
that's
a food
why
standpoint.
People will go there?
So the ban is finally over.
The
national
ban,
nightmare.
Yes, you can import sex dolls now in South Korea.
Dolls or robots?
Dolls, sex dolls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not, I think it's gonna help the tourism.
Mexico's president is asking residents of Mexico to reject drug gang gifts. Do you think that you would turn down a gift from a drug cartel just because Mexico's president has asked you to do so?
Nope.
No?
If they say, here's a gift, I'm going to say, thank you, drug cartel.
Thank you.
What do you want me to say?
Yeah.
No, now, it could be like, you know, you watch the prison movies. You're not supposed to take anything from anyone because then you owe them. So maybe it's the same way. You're supposed to, here, why don't you take this? Now, next thing you know, you're mulling coke over the border.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you wouldn't take.
Well, maybe I'll be like, guys, this is so nice, but really,
I can't take this.
I can't. Yeah. You're too kind, but
take
I really
it.
Can't.
No,
take
no.
it. No, I really.
No,
I really
take
can't.
It. No, you'll take it. Finally tonight, has your wife ever been in the driveway honking a horn at you to hurry?
Sure,
she has.
I'm usually the one honking.
Oh, you are.
Oh yeah.
Has she ever come out with a rifle and start shooting?
Nope.
Okay, well, that happened in Colorado.
Not yet.
A 55-year-old man faces charges that he shot his wife in the leg after she honked a horn at him. Seems like a little bit aggressive
response to a horn honking. Don't feel like that should warrant. That doesn't feel like that warrants a shotgun blast.
I don't know. I think probably you should just say, shut up! That's all. That's better than,
I'm coming!
Shooting her, I think.
I'll be out in a second. I've got to lock the door.
Paul Gallant is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5.